Greetings, beautiful people. This is the Michael Slate Show, and I am your guest host, Sansara Taylor. I'm speaking to you painfully as the bombs continue to fall on Palestine, as we are forced to witness the systematic mass murder of Gazans and children in an act so barbarous it has its own terrifying name, genocide. So I want to open today's show with a few lines of poetry by Fady Judah. They did not mean to kill the children. They meant to. Too many kids got in the way of precisely imprecise one-ton bombs dropped 1,001 times over the children's nights. The segments of today's show are drawn from the latest episode of the RNL, the Revolution Nothing Less show, called Genocide in Gaza, Christian Fascist Leads Congress, We Need Revolution and a Radically Different System. You can find this show on the YouTube channel of The RevComs. It's youtube.com/TheRevComs, and I recommend that you watch it and subscribe. New episodes come out every Thursday evening. We'll begin today's show with host Andy Z speaking about Israel's genocidal bombing of Palestinians in Gaza and on the need to struggle with people so that their righteous outrage does not get channeled back into the BEB. That is the bourgeois electoral BS. I mean, look at it. Biden, the so-called alternative to Trump, the fascist Republican Trump, white supremacist, open retribution crazed, xenophobic, woman-hating Trump. Biden, his opposition, is Genocide Joe, backing to the teeth the slaughter of the Gazan children. So Andy Z is going to talk about not just these two candidates, these two leaders of the empire, but the system itself. So we're going to dive into that first. Then you're going to hear from me. Again, my name is Sansara Taylor, and I'm going to give a special welcome to new viewers and listeners who were drawn forward through the Revolution Nothing Less Week, a recent national campaign aimed at making a real advance and putting real revolution on the map. And I'll sum up a few lessons that were learned through that week of actions. Then we'll hear an excerpt from the Bob Avakian interviews, where the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian answers the question, what do you say when people ask or say, revolution sounds good, but that's never going to happen? So he gives a really powerful answer that is also so of the moment that we're in. And then I'll take on the MAGA Christian fascist Mike Johnson, the new Speaker of the House of Representatives in this country, and I'll get into why the theocratic vision this guy is a champion of is a nightmare, why the Bible taken literally is a horror, and why a system, this system of capitalism, imperialism, that treats somebody like this as a legitimate figure has to go. So with that, let's dive in. This is Andy Z of the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show.
In today's commentary, I'm going to discuss one really bad and dangerous direction that the mass protests in this country against Israel's wholesale murderous bombing of the Palestinian people has taken. This is a call to fold this righteous struggle into the 2024 elections by telling Biden that he'll lose their support if he continues supporting Israel. Last weekend, on November 4th, tens of thousands of people of all nationalities filled the streets of Washington, D.C. to protest Biden and the Democrats' full-bore support, military, political, and financial, of the Israeli genocide against the Palestinian people. The struggle to support the Palestinian people is awakening new generations and sections of people to lift their heads as they righteously fight to stop this atrocity. This can open eyes to see the actual nature of this country. And then along comes a line pulling people back into the elections, leading people into a dead end, and the killing embrace of the very system that is threatening not just the people of Palestine, but all of humanity. This is a moment where the future of all of humanity lies in the balance from the very workings of the capitalist imperialist system we live under. A moment that also holds the potential for revolution, for a radically new and far better world, aiming for the emancipation of people everywhere. I'm going to get into this in a moment, but first, some background. Sometimes numbers are just numbers. Other times they paint a picture. They indicate the scale and scope, and they pose questions of what's behind the numbers. What caused these numbers? What is to be done about these numbers? This can be trivial, like my hometown basketball team, the New York Knicks, who haven't won a championship in half a century, even while being a wealthy team in one of the largest sports markets. Sports analysts spend hours dissecting this, and New Yorkers complaining about the hapless Knicks is a New York tradition by now. Sometimes numbers matter. The global rise in temperature, threatening the future of humanity. The carnage and lives lost in the stalemate in the U.S.-Russia proxy war in Ukraine, with neither side considering backing down, measured up against the number of nuclear weapons that Russia and the U.S. possess as their ultimate threat against each other, and which, if used, could be endgame for humanity. The climate numbers and the stalemate in Ukraine up against the potential use of nukes pose the question of why. And on this show, the RNL show, we have shown that the answer is capitalism imperialism, a system of ruthless competition between big powers over the exploitation and domination of the people of the world. Here are some other numbers from the last month in Gaza that tell another urgent story of the horror of this system we live under. Note that the numbers I'm going to read are but minimums. In Gaza, over the last month, at least 10,569 Palestinians killed, including at least 4,324 children. At least 26,475 have been injured, including at least 8,663 children. And in the occupied West Bank, at least 164 killed, including 44 children, with more than 2,100 injured. And in Israel, at least 1,405 killed and at least 5,600 injured. Behind these numbers are a people, our families, children, 6 killed per hour by Israeli planes and missiles, often guided by U.S. intelligence and paid for by the United States. The tears, the anguish, the lives count for nothing to the Israeli government and their godfather, in the mafia use of that word, the USA, the number one imperialist oppressor in the world. In fact, to the Israeli government, the Palestinians are not even human. On October 10th, Israel's defense minister declared, quote,
"We are putting a complete siege on Gaza. No electricity. No food, no water, no gas, it's all closed. We're fighting animals and are acting accordingly."
It makes my blood boil that for all too many Israelis and people in this country, Palestinian children, infants, kids, teens, don't even count, and yet these same people are outraged when it is an Israeli child or a U.S. citizen who is harmed. These are the twisted values of nationalism and capitalism imperialism. Often these days you hear people, especially students, talk about capitalism and see it as a problem. But what is capitalism imperialism? Bob Avakian defined imperialism decades ago, and what he said is in the Handbook for Revolution, Basics, Basics 1-6. Listen.
Basics from the Talks and Writings of Bob Avakian. Chapter 1, quote number 6. Imperialism means huge monopolies and financial institutions controlling the economies and the political systems and the lives of people, not just in one country, but all over the world. Imperialism means parasitic exploiters who oppress hundreds of millions of people and condemn them to untold misery. Parasitic financiers who can cause millions to starve just by pressing a computer key and thereby shifting vast amounts of wealth from one place to another. Imperialism means war. War to put down the resistance and rebellion of the oppressed, and war between rival imperialist states. It means the leaders of these states can condemn humanity to unbelievable devastation, perhaps even total annihilation, with the push of a button. Imperialism is capitalism at the stage where its basic contradictions have been raised to tremendously explosive levels. But imperialism also means that there will be revolution, the oppressed rising up to overthrow their exploiters and tormentors, and that this revolution will be a worldwide struggle to sweep away the global monster, imperialism.
With this as a foundation, I want to briefly speak in this commentary to how this fight is impacting the political terrain, how it is shaping the thinking of large sections of people who are deeply concerned and outraged at the horror that is being carried out against the 2+ million Palestinians locked, yes, imprisoned in one of the most densely packed areas in the world, largely defenseless against relentless bombing and a siege that has denied them the basics of life, food, water, medical care, fuel, electricity, with some surgeries performed in open air and for many without anesthesia. As I said at the top of this commentary, last weekend we saw one of the largest rallies against the genocidal assault on Gaza focusing on the role of Biden and the U.S.'s whole hog support for Israel. This was a very good thing and it needs to grow, broaden, and become more determined. Yet, from the rally stage came the line that people should withhold voting for Biden in the presidential election next year. This echoed a call from a few progressive Democratic congresspeople who are defying Biden, opposing U.S. support for Israel, who have been saying, "We will remember what you are doing to our people when the 2024 election comes." And for this, they have come under attack from all quarters of the ruling class. But this line will drain the life out of the outrage and the righteous struggle in the streets and throughout society to stop the U.S.'s criminal role in supporting Israel by driving this movement into a bullshit dead-end electoral strategy. And more, this will divert people from looking deeper into the system, from coming to see that what is driving the U.S. support for Israel is the capitalist imperialist system. More, through the work of RevComs, including what we do on this show, the RNL show, people can begin to see that only a real emancipating revolution based on the new communism developed by Bob Avakian holds the prospect of a whole new emancipating way we could be living, moving beyond all the horrors that plague humanity today. So listen to Nahad Awad, the head of CARE, that is the Council on American-Islamic Relations, speaking at the November 4th rally in Washington, D.C.
No ceasefire, no votes. 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 No votes in Michigan. No votes in Arizona. No votes in Georgia. No votes in Nevada. No votes in Wisconsin. No votes in Pennsylvania. No votes in Ohio. No votes for you anywhere if you do not call for a ceasefire now. We remember in November. We remember in November. We remember in November. We remember in November. We remember.
The only positive word he said a dozen times was the word no, but not as he meant it. Precisely the opposite is what is needed. No to bourgeois electoral bullshit and right on to revolution. The reality is every section of the ruling class, except for a small number of congresspeople, fully support Israel. The fascist Republican Party of Trump and the Democratic Party, yes, even Bernie Sanders. Why? First, some history. Israel is a country that, with the backing of major imperialist powers, was founded as a racist Jewish supremacist state 75 years ago on the basis of horrific ethnic cleansing with mass killing, rape, and the destruction of whole villages of Palestinians, driving the masses of Palestinians off of their lands and incorporating that land into the expanding territory in what became the State of Israel, which had never existed before World War II. And now Israel, with the full backing of the U.S. imperialists, is openly carrying out a genocide against the Palestinians. Now, if you've been paying attention to this struggle, you've heard that Biden and his Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken, utter words of concern for the Palestinians in Gaza. They've called for a pause in the slaughter to allow for some humanitarian aid, only for the pummeling then to begin anew. It's like the torture scenes in the movies. The victim is knocked unconscious by the torturer, who then throws a bucket of water to revive the prisoner, only to start the torture anew. The way to understand these pious words of concern for the Palestinian lies from the blood-soaked fangs of Biden and Blinken is that they gotta do what the system that they preside over, the bloodthirsty system of capitalism imperialism, requires them to do. But they don't want to say that. Because to get over on the people here and around the world, they need to pretend to be upholders of freedom and human rights. And they may even believe that their murderous bombardment is, well, let's put it like it is, the cost of doing business. They need and want you to believe that they do what they do for the noblest of reasons, concealing the actual reality that they are the vicious enforcers of an imperialist empire who are compelled to dominate people all over the world, including contending with other imperialist gangster rivals such as Russia and China. Once again, diverting the just outrage of the mass protests into electoral bullshit keeps the people who are raising their heads to fight the brutal, bloody genocide being done in their name from seeing and seeking the actual cause of the Gaza atrocity in the capitalist imperialist system, and the answer in an actual revolution that could bring it to being a whole new emancipating way people could be living, as is put forth in the Constitution for a new socialist republic in North America, written by Bob Avakian, a blueprint for a new society on the road to overcome all forms of exploitation and oppression. There's an important article on our website, revcom.us, by Bob Avakian, titled very aptly, quote, "The Trials of Fascist Donald Trump and the Criminal Nature of This Whole System," or "Don't Be Played for Suckers by Trump's Posturing," or "The Democrats Posing as Defenders of Justice." We need a revolution and a fundamentally different and far better system. In this article, BA writes, quote, "Beneath the outward appearance of respectability and even the aura of solemn dignity that surrounds many of the leaders of this country, there is the reality of the truly perverse, demented mentality that someone is required to have or is compelled to acquire in order to serve as top functionaries of this system," end quote. The bitter irony for those progressive people, including many from the Palestinian community who are appealing to Biden and the Democrats that they won't forget what he is doing, is that when it comes down to election time, Biden or maybe some other Democrat will be facing Trump or another fascist Republican. And then what are you going to do? Then people will find themselves confronting the cynical line from the Democrats and their promoters that things will be even worse if Trump is elected. So do you really want to help Trump get elected by not voting for Biden? Look, you are being played, and worse, by going for this tired line, you are actually playing with the lives and the future of Palestinians, and even more with the future of humanity, because the horror of what is going down in Gaza can be a wake-up call for people to get serious, to see the nature of the beast of this system, and to get organized for a real liberating revolution here and around the world. When the veil of the U.S. as a force for good is ripping apart, opening big holes in their disguise, this is a time to shake and wake all those sections of the people, especially those most oppressed and the youth more broadly, to see the nature of the beast that oppresses people here and around the world, and to get organized now for the one thing that could matter more than anything, a real revolution to liberate humanity. The entire ruling class is behind what the U.S. and Israel are doing in Gaza and Palestine. It's time to get serious and get real and get into Bob Avakian and the revolution we urgently need. Bob Avakian has written that, quote, "Everything that is happening with the developing situation involving Palestine and Israel, along with Biden's push to heighten the danger of war with Russia and China, and how this further shines a light on the very nature of U.S. capitalist imperialism, highlights once more the crucial truth of his statement.
We can no longer afford to allow these imperialists to dominate the world and to determine the destiny of humanity. They need to be overthrown as quickly as possible.
That was Andy Z speaking on genocide in Gaza and what people need to understand and do now. Before we go on, I'd like to play a short statement by Elena Stein of Jewish Voice for Peace outside the UN at a recent protest.
Stand with me! Live! Gaza! Live! Live! Gaza! Live! I am here, I am alive, because the day that my Bubba, my grandmother's entire family was massacred in a genocide, she just happened to be absent. And so I spent years and years agonizing over the question of, where were the neighbors? Why did they just stand by? And so it is with all of my Jewish ancestors at my back, the one who survived and all those who didn't, that we say now, more profoundly than ever before, we refuse to be neighbors who just stand by. We are organizing right now the largest demonstrations of Jewish people in solidarity with Palestinian people in history. Because while they say it is these people or it is those people, we know what is true, what has always been true and what will always be true, that it is all of us or none of us.
All right, that was Elena Stein of Jewish Voice for Peace. Now you'll hear a special welcome from me to new viewers of the RNL show, met during the Revolution Nothing Last Week, a recent national effort aimed at putting or making a big advance in putting real revolution on the map. We want to extend a special welcome to everyone tuning in who learned about this show through the Revolution Nothing Last Week, which just wrapped up. And we want to give a shout out to everyone who participated in this week of fighting to make a big advance in making the organized forces and leadership of this revolution the authority that growing numbers of people look to and follow. Not the lying politicians and media of this oppressive system. Not those who front for the oppressors and preach about reconciliation with this system. Not those who turn people against each other when they need to be uniting for this revolution. Throughout the Revolution Nothing Last Week, we learned that we need to be even sharper and frontally taking on all the backwards that people are caught up in that keeps them chained to this system and going along. This is something that Noche Diaz, the national spokesperson for the Revolution Clubs, spoke directly to after a shooting in the area rang out during his speech that came right after they marched through South Central Los Angeles, raising the demand from South Central to Palestine. Humanity needs real revolution. This is Noche.
Well, there you go. Here's a great example of why we need to be out here in these streets representing for this revolution and fighting with people to live by the points of attention. Because while these fascists are building up their guns to aim at the masses of people who they hate, the masses of oppressed people are busy pointing our guns at each other instead of coming together to build up the strength to go up against this system. But we are changing all that when we start living by and fighting for the points of attention. We are changing all of that now when we show people there's another thing to live, fight, and when necessary, die for that isn't living like rats in the rat race, but is about getting all of humanity out of this rat race. We have to show people and we have to fight like hell with people to give up this system's ways of thinking, to get into the revolution and become part of not fighting and killing each other, but of defending each other from the violence of this system and building up the strength to bring it down. Because we have an opportunity that most people do not get in their lifetime to do that in these times. We have the leadership that people have only dreamed of having in times like this to seize on this opportunity. We have a strategy and a constitution to run society a completely different way, not just because we're better people, but because we understand the system that is responsible for all this, and the different, fundamentally different system that is possible. And we are working every day in these streets and in cities across the country to bring people forward into this revolution, and you need to be part of that now.
Now, what Noce is calling for, fighting hard with people to break them out of the system's ways of thinking, needs to be applied across the board, up against the God talk, up against the BEB, bourgeois electoral bullshit, and so much more. In that clip, Noce also spoke about the points of attention for the revolution. And throughout this week, we get a deeper sense of the potential power of these points of attention. This is what one member of the Revolution Clubs said about how she came to understand these points of attention and the role they play. Quote, "Working back from making revolution, the forces for revolution, who are the authority that growing numbers of people are looking to and following, have to be setting the terms of how people can relate differently. And it is part of what Bob Avakian talks about. A force that carries itself differently is fighting for revolution, struggling with the masses. This can make millions sit up and take notice. It can make people who once thought it ain't possible start thinking differently." End quote. I also recommend that you go back and watch how Joe Veal talked about these points of attention on last week's episode. Most importantly, we need to grasp even more firmly and fight even more boldly for the tremendous positive factor for revolution that is Bob Avakian and the leadership that he is providing. Bob Avakian is a game-changing positive factor for revolution for many reasons. One reason is that he has forged a new framework for human emancipation, the new communism. And through this week, we got important beginning experience taking the Constitution for the new socialist republic that he authored out on college campuses in the Take Bob Avakian to Campus Day, sponsored by the Bob Avakian Institute. Another way that Bob Avakian is a positive factor for revolution is because of the analysis that he has made and the roadmap he has forged for how a revolution could be wrenched out of the current high-stakes crisis that we are living through in this country, with the rulers at each other's throats and society ripping apart from top to bottom. And another way, which we are still just at the beginning end of tapping, is the inspiring, real as hell, and truly accessible way that Bob Avakian brings all this and much more alive in the interviews that he did on this show, and which we showed on the big screen last week in Oakland as part of the Revolution Nothing Less week. These interviews can be, and we must persevere and step up in fighting to make them, a gateway for millions of people to enter into this revolution, and a means through which we repolarize all of society in a way that is more favorable for revolution. It is urgent that we not only step up our efforts in the crucial weeks and months ahead, but do so with an even clearer sense of the strategy to make this revolution real. With this in mind, we want to share a segment from our interview with Bob Avakian, where he gives leadership to how we need to be approaching things so that what are now very small forces for revolution can impact this situation and grow in short order. Listen deeply to what he says. This needs to be a measure for all of us going forward.
Welcome back. This is The Michael Slate Show, and I am your guest host, Sansara Taylor. We'll take a musical break, and I'll be right back.
A blinding flash of white light lit up the sky over Gaza tonight. People running for cover, not knowing whether they're dead or alive. They came with their tanks and their planes, with ravaging fiery flames, and nothing remains. Just a voice rising up in the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike, murdered and massacred.
That was We Will Not Go Down, Song for Gaza, Palestine, by Michael Hart. Now we are going to move forward and listen to an excerpt from the Bob Avakian interviews where he answers the question, what do you say to people who say, yeah, revolution sounds good, but that ain't going to happen?
You know, some of the people who have been active going out to organize people with that understanding have raised to us that, yeah, but the people say to us, they look out there and they say, you people don't have that many people right now. You're kind of small. And not only that, there's not really the kind of mass resistance we need. And so how are you going to do that? Yeah, what you're talking about sounds good, but it ain't going to happen. What do you say to them?
Yeah, well, a lot of times it looks like something's not going to happen until the night before it does happen. You know, that's one thing to understand, and that has meaning. It's not just a clever thing to say. You know, this is a time of, you know, when things are being accelerated at an increasing pace, you know, and changes. I mean, who anticipated a year ago even that they would overturn Roe v. Wade? You know, a lot of people are saying, oh, you know, the Supreme Court's bad, but they'll never do that. You know, yeah, I've read many articles where people were writing and saying, they'll never do that because most people in the country support the right to, at least the right to choose. Well, guess what? They did it. You know, and that, you know, things of that kind are going to continue to happen at an accelerated pace. And, you know, so yes, it's true. The forces of revolution, in particular the Revcoms who base themselves on the new communism, are very small at this time. That's a fact, you know, and we're not gonna try to, you know, bullshit people and pretend something other than what it is, because we base ourselves on a scientific approach to making revolution, which means actually dealing with the actual reality and telling people the truth about the actual reality. I've told this story before. There was a group, you know, I don't know if they're still around or not, but back in the 60s, there was this group called PL, Progressive Labor. I mean, you can imagine, they're supposedly a communist group. Imagine what kind of communism, what kind of group is supposed to be communist calls itself Progressive Labor? I mean, come on. Anyway.
Wrong on two counts.
Leaving that aside, you know, like in the economism to the nth degree, you know, just like burying yourself in the narrow struggles, you know, of today. But anyway, one of their members got up at a rally, and I think it was actually they were being interviewed too. And I think it actually got into the New York Times, where they said, we have 10,000 members in Harlem. And a bunch of us said, man, what the f*** are you talking about? You don't have any f***ing 10,000 members in Harlem? And the guy said, yeah, I know we don't, but if we say it, maybe we'll get them. Well, that's not the way we're going to approach things, with that kind of opportunism. You know, you have to deal with the actual reality. So yes, the forces of revolution are small. Right now, the Revcom forces basing themselves on the scientific method and approach of the new communism are small. And, you know, if it were just a matter of, like, gradually accumulating forces, you know, a few today and a few next week and a few next year, and, you know, with the prospect that maybe in some, you know, never-never land of 70 years from now, maybe we'd have enough people to make a revolution. Well, yes, then you could say that would never happen. But look, I made this point in 2020 when there was a massive upsurge around the murder of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd. You know, I said, look around you. Nobody expected this kind of massive outpouring. And yet, here it came seemingly out of nowhere. But it didn't come out of nowhere. It came out of the underlying contradictions, the oppression of black people in particular and others, Latinos, Native Americans, and the brutal way in which this is daily enforced by murdering pigs. This was the underlying accumulation of contradictions and, you know, and suffering and anguish and outrage finally burst forth when this was just one too many. It's similar to what's happening in Iran now. You know, I mean, there have been many women dragged off the street by their morality police for years and decades. But finally, this one, you know, with this particularly brutal murder of this, yes, that's what it was. You know, you know, the idea that this 22-year-old woman who was perfectly healthy had a heart attack is outrageous. You know, and nobody believes it. Not even the people telling the lie believe it, I would imagine. Okay, but all of a sudden, things have reached another level. Now, I don't know where all this is going to go at this time. The forces of the ruling class there are still very powerful. But this has gone to a level beyond anything previously. And it's, you know, on the one hand, you know, you could say it's just one more thing. Here's one more woman dragged off by the morality police and brutalized, and it results in her death. But it was just one too many in the context of a lot of other things going on. You know, people are suffering economically and so on. It was just one too many. The same thing in 2020. There were millions of people in the street. What was missing then, and we have to fault ourselves in part for this, although we talked about revolution and put out revolution, we didn't really go and struggle with people about, you know, what this really shows is the need to get rid of the whole system. And you're not going to defund the police. You know, look at what's happened. You know, you got, the great Democratic hero, Joe Biden. The answer is not to defund the police, it's to fund them, fund them, fund them. What'd I say? Fund them. But that was a prevailing line. And so, you know, this thing got led off into a side, you know, side stream and, you know, a side street and didn't go anywhere ultimately, even though it was, you know, really heroic outpouring of millions of people, which was supported by millions more around the world. Who predicted that a month before? I mean, yes, we've been talking for decades and mobilizing people in struggle against police murder for decades. You know, there's a whole national day of protest against police brutality and criminalization of a generation and repression. That goes back to the mid-90s. You know, but all of a sudden, a bunch of things came together. All right, you know, if the revolutionaries had been working the way we should have been, bringing revolution to that and struggling with people, not just about we need revolution in the abstract, but why these other avenues and lines and roads and programs were not going to lead things where they need to go. The question is, why should anybody put up with this kind of, you know, brutal murder time after time after time after time? Why do the parents and loved ones of these people have to shed these tears and cry this anguish time after time after time? Isn't it long past time to put an end to this completely?
Yeah.
Okay, so then what is going to be required to put an end to this and all the other outrages, which we also need to be bringing sharply to light? You know, the oppression of women, the absolute destruction of the environment, the threat of nuclear war going on, the persecution of the immigrants, and on and on and on. You know, the persecution of gay people and, you know, trans people and so on. You know, in the context of all that, we needed to be saying to people, there's only one solution to this. It's not an easy solution, but it's the only real solution. That's what a scientific approach tells us, because this is rooted in the system and we can show it. And the only way to get rid of all this is to overthrow this system. Now, that would not have led to a revolution right then, but it could have led to accumulating many more forces. And then the next time something jumped off, like what happened with the overturning of Roe v. Wade, we'd be in a stronger position with more forces and more ability to impact that situation, so long as we were consistently going out there with revolution. And they, you know, Lenin made the point, leader of the Russian Revolution and a, you know, important communist theoretician, made the point that in these kind of circumstances, which we're living in now, and it's important to understand, you know, decades of ordinary times get concentrated in not only in years, but in months and weeks. And that's what you saw in 2020 on a certain level, not yet to revolution, but that's what you saw. And that's what's going to be increasingly happening. The question is, are the revolutionaries, small as they are right now? Yes, we're going to be honest about this. We're not going to try to fool people. That's not scientific. That's not principled. But small as they are, can they go out and drive home to people this lesson and show it in a scientifically grounded, understandable way, not talking like, you know, well, you must understand it's the imperialist system that causes all these horrors in the world. And the first thing we need is a proletarian revolution, which first occurred in 1917 after the failure of the Paris Commune in 1871 and was taken to its highest level by the Chinese Cultural Revolution. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? But to go out and in a living way present to people the actual reality of what this is all rooted in, why things are accelerating the way they are, how the ruling class is increasingly an antagonistic, unresolvable conflict within itself, and how this provides opening for us to actually get rid of all this oppression by scientifically understanding that it's rooted in the very workings of this system, the very dynamics and the very relations of this system, and that we can mobilize and win over the forces Most of all, people who are catching the worst hell into this system, which are millions and tens of millions, but also people from other parts of society who hate injustice and who want a better future for humanity and don't want to be have nuclear weapons raining down on humanity, don't want the environment to be destroyed. We can win increasing numbers of them over, and it's going to all be very accelerated one way or the other. So we've got to go out with that understanding and give that understanding to the masses of people, like I said, in very basic terms and in everyday language, not in a stilted language that I was just, you know, mocking, to be blunt. But, you know, this is where building up the forces for revolution in a growing way. Today there are small numbers. Tomorrow there are, you know, hundreds verging on thousands. Then there are thousands. And when there are thousands, those thousands make millions sit up and take notice. You see thousands of people all together, you know, firmly convinced of the need for revolution, not in some sort of religious sense, but in a, with a scientific foundation in basic terms. You see them on the political stage, influencing the political terrain, you know, the how things are shaping up. Millions of people start taking notice, and millions of people who are telling us today, oh, that'll never happen, start thinking a little differently, or at least questioning, well, maybe it could happen. And then, you know, the question is, do you have a leading force, a core leading this, that has the scientific method and approach and has an actual strategy and plan for how to build up the forces for revolution, how to work to create the conditions for revolution, carry out what we call the three prepares. Prepare the ground, the political situation, prepare the masses of people, and prepare the vanguard leadership so that you can go all the way with revolution. You know, and people are going to start sitting up and taking notice. Wow, there are people out here and they're very serious about this and they have a scientific approach which they can explain to me in terms that I can actually understand. And they've got a strategy and a program for how to go about this and how to win when the time comes. Not that they've given us a guarantee, but they have a strategy for how to go about winning. And they've got a whole vision and concrete blueprint for what to do when we do win, namely the Constitution for the new socialist republic in North America.
That was Bob Avakian, a revolutionary leader and the architect of the new communism, a whole new framework for human emancipation. And that was taken from the Bob Avakian interviews, which were extensive, three-part interviews. I had the chance, together with Andy Z, to sit down with this incredible revolutionary leader who's been 50 years standing true to his and deepening his revolutionary convictions that were forged in the 1960s. None of the problems that he fought against at that time, working closely with the Black Panther Party, fighting against the Vietnam War and the crimes of U.S. imperialism, fighting against patriarchal oppression, none of the crimes of this system have gone away. They've gotten worse, and there are so many more dimensions of them since then, all of which have continued to motivate Bob Avakian to stay on the revolutionary road and to forge and breakthroughs in the science of revolution, the strategy of revolution, the vision of the new society that would replace this society after a revolution. He even wrote a constitution for the new socialist republic in North America to replace the U.S. Constitution, that exploiter's constitution. And you can find his work and the full interviews that we did with him at revcom.us. And I really recommend you do. In times like these demand a revolutionary answer, and this is a leader like no other. So with that, I want to move to our final segment, where I take on the MAGA Christian fascist Mike Johnson, who recently became the Speaker of the House of Representatives, and why the Bible taken literally is a horror. Let's listen.
On October 25th, the MAGA Republicans installed a new Speaker of the House. This is the second most powerful political position in government and the second in line to the presidency. And the man they installed, Mike Johnson, is an outright Christian fascist. As The Guardian put it, Johnson is a believer in scriptural originalism, the view that the Bible is the truth and the sole legitimate source of public policy. This is called a theocracy, and we are moving rapidly and dangerously in this direction. Christian fascists now dominate the Supreme Court. They control many state governments. They have an unthinking social base of millions who are blindly obedient and heavily armed. And while some progressive and mainstream writers have called attention to Mike Johnson's fanatical opposition to abortion, his vicious condemnation of homosexuality as unnatural, and his involvement in Trump's attempt to steal the last election, almost no one is sounding the alarm on this Christian fascism the way it needs to be sounded and acting accordingly. The day after Johnson became speaker, he sat down with Sean Hannity and said the following on Fox News.
I am a Bible-believing Christian. Someone asked me today in the media, they said, it's curious, people are curious, what does Mike Johnson think about any issue under the sun? I said, well, go pick up a Bible off your shelf and read it. That's my worldview. That's what I believe.
It must be said, this was a cowardly answer. Mike Johnson wasn't willing to state out loud what is in the Bible that informs what he thinks about every issue under the sun. He knows that most people, including most Christians, would be horrified by what is actually in the Bible. And he is counting on the fact that most people in this society are so indoctrinated by the idea that the Bible is some kind of code of moral behavior and goodness that they will accept this cowardly duck. But let's do what he suggested. Let's take the Bible off our shelf and let's read what's actually in it and confront what it actually says and confront what it would mean to allow those who take the Bible literally, like Mike Johnson and huge sections of the MAGA fascist Republicans, to impose this on society. Let's start with the question of homosexuality. In this interview, Johnson made a big show of insisting that he loves everyone, even if he condemns their lifestyle.
But I also genuinely love all people, regardless of their lifestyle choices.
But let's look at what the Bible, the book he says informs his worldview about everything, actually says. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. It says, if a man lies with a man as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Killed. The Bible said they should be killed. Does that sound loving to you? Unless you think this is just one passage, the same essential point is driven home in Romans 1:27, Leviticus 18:22-24, and other passages throughout this Bible. And indeed, Mike Johnson called the 2003 Supreme Court ruling that overturned sodomy laws in this country a, quote, devastating blow to fundamental American values and millennia of moral teaching. This is bloodthirsty. So what does the Bible say about people who practice a different religion or in some other way interfere with God's will? Let's look at the book of Numbers. In this passage I'm about to read, Moses had commanded the Israelites to go out and slaughter the Midianites. And this is what they did. They killed all the men and then captured all the women and all the animals and they burned down all the homes of the Midianites. But when Moses heard about this, he got angry. Why did he get angry? Not because they had killed and burned and plundered, but because they had not burned and killed and plundered enough. Listen to what he says to them in Numbers 31, 17 and 18. He says, now therefore, go back and kill every male among the little ones, that is the children, and kill every woman who has known a man intimately. But keep alive for yourselves all the young girls who have not known a man intimately. In other words, take the women who are still virgins and turn them into sex slaves, prizes of war. But surely God is merciful towards babies, right? Mike Johnson and these other Christian fascists are always prattling on against abortion rights and for the so-called sanctity of life, right? Wrong. Psalm 137, verse 9 of this Bible says, blessed are the ones who seize your children and smash them against the rocks. The children represent the future generations, and so they must be destroyed if the enemy is truly to be eradicated. That's right. Take the babies of your enemies and smash their heads against the rocks. Kill them. That is what the God of Mike Johnson's Bible not only commands, but celebrates. No wonder Mike Johnson tries to outdo even Biden in supporting Israel's wanton killing of children in Gaza right now. In fact, Johnson's very first act as Speaker of the House was to push through more funding to support the genocide that Israel is carrying out against Gaza and its children right now. But let's go further on how the Bible views the children. The MAGA fascists love to talk about so-called parents' rights. So what does the Bible say about this? It says that parents literally have the right to kill their children if they are disobedient. Here it is in Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 through 21. It says, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or mother, then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. But let's keep going. These MAGA fascists always love to preach about abstinence before marriage, especially for women and girls. And they root this in the Bible. But they never say what the Bible insists should be done to the women who are not virgins when they get married. So let's find out. Here it is in Deuteronomy 22, verses 20 through 21. It says, if no proof of the young woman's virginity can be found, she shall be brought to the door of her father's house, and there the men of her town shall stone her to death. This command, this biblical command, is bound up with the biblical view that women and children are the property of their husbands and fathers. And perhaps this is what has driven Johnson to push for decades to get rid of no-fault divorce, the ability for one party in a marriage to initiate divorce without having to prove something such as adultery or violence. No-fault divorce laws were mostly passed in this country in the 1960s and 70s, and these were monumental in furthering women's financial, social, and professional independence, as well as their safety. Finally, let's look at something that Johnson said in his very first address to Congress upon being sworn in. He said, quote, I don't believe there are any coincidences in a matter like this. I believe that Scripture, the Bible, is very clear that God raises up those in authority. In other words, he was put in power by God, and he said the same about Trump. This, too, is a view rooted in the Bible taken literally. It says right in Romans 13:1 that, quote, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. So Johnson is literally saying, if you don't agree with him and with Trump and bow down before these and other powerful fascists, you are violating the will of God. Now here I have shared only a few passages from the Bible. There are many more which could be cited and which clearly illustrate a powerful truth that Bob Avakian extensively details in his incredible book, Away with All Gods, Unchaining the Mind and Radically Changing the World. This is a book I highly recommend reading. And the truth that he drives home in this book, among others, is this. The Bible, taken literally, is a horror. Yet none of this fascist biblical literalism kept Joe Biden from sitting down with Mike Johnson and making nice the day after he became speaker. Johnson reported back, I enjoyed my visit with the president, and he called their meeting productive. That outright Christian fascists like Johnson and Amy Coathanger Barrett on the Supreme Court and many others in power who insist that the Bible is the absolute word of God that must be obeyed are considered legitimate political figures in this country only goes to show the complete illegitimacy of the system as a whole. It is yet one more reason why we need a revolution, a whole new system, and a fundamentally different way to live.
Okay, beautiful people, this brings us to the end of another edition of the Michael Slate Show. I've been so happy to be able to share the hour with you. I want to thank you for tuning in for all of the hour or any portion of it. I want to thank Henry Carson for assistant producing. And I want to remind you before signing off to, again, go to the website, youtube.com/TheRevComes. Go visit The Rev Comes on YouTube. Watch the Bob Avakian interviews, watch the RNL show, and visit revcom.us, the website. It's got extraordinary coverage, exposure, analysis, history, and a scientific understanding of what's the root of the conflict going on in Palestine and Israel right now, and what is the emancipating solution. It's an unparalleled resource. Again, revcom.us. And with that, let me remind you that the problem is not human nature. It is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. I'll talk to you next week.
What good is love and peace on earth? in troubled times. We live in troubled times.
Exclusive.